Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Well, good morning, Boston. It's been a minute. What's up? It's Shime and Lanny here on a beautiful Saturday morning with the WEEI Producers Show. Lanny, what's going on, bud?
What's up, man? It's been a real long time.
Yeah, it's been quite a few weeks since we've had the producer show. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I've been bouncing around all over the place. You've been enjoying your summer. It's been a wild time. But for at least the next month,
yeah,
we will be here every Saturday, 8 a.m. producer show live and in person. It'll be good stuff.
Let's do it.
Did you watch any of the Eagles-Packers game last night?
Very little. I mean, I wasn't going to dig through Peacock or whatever. I say dig through like I sound like an old man, I got to search for this app. No, it wasn't like that. It just kind of wasn't really that much on my radar. Tuned in for a little bit. Like we were discussing before the show started, the announcing crew were meh at best.
Oh, God, those guys. Like, Noah Eagle is fine. He's just a play-by-play guy.
Right.
I don't know. I think you looked this up before the show. What was the name of the color guy?
It was Todd Blackledge.
Who?
Exactly. So, and I'm Googling it, and Google Images, I'm like, you would think the face would jump out to
you. Yeah.
That should be the first priority for a pro analyst. You got to be a recognizable name.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, first, the name's not recognizable, and then you Google Image the guy, and you're like, I don't remember seeing this guy do anything.
Why is NBC sending a guy like that when you could just, I don't know, coax Kurt Warner off of doing radio and send him? Like, at least everybody knows Kurt Warner, and he's actually really good.
You trust Kurt Warner to survive down in Brazil?
Yeah, he's... Yeah, I mean, he was bagging groceries before he was on the Arizona Cardinals.
Right. He survived supermarkets.
He can do anything. That man's a hero.
And then what I did tell you, the highlight was the guy in the crowd who took it. This was creative. This is just creativity to the max. The guy who took a cheese head, covered it in tinfoil, and then put a Philadelphia cream cheese sticker on it. I saw the photos of that. I'm like, that's amazing. I go, I love creativity from fans.
That is pure Brazilian ingenuity right there.
It was absolutely amazing.
I love that for them.
But I'm pumped football started. I wasn't really into the last night's game, but, you know, the Chiefs-Ravens the night before was awesome, you know, and I'm just pumped for football.
I got to tell you, like, back-to-back nights where you get awesome games to start the NFL season, which I think is kudos to the NFL. Like, the one thing they did right with the schedule this year, all four of the first primetime games, Thursday night, Friday night, Monday night, and Sunday night, all of them are banger games.
Yeah, coming out with a bang.
Right? Because Sunday night, we're going to get Lions-Rams indoors in Detroit. That's going to be awesome. And then Monday night, we get Jets-49ers. So assuming Rodgers plays more than four plays, like, that game's going to be a lot of fun, too. So the NFL doesn't always do things right, especially with their scheduling. But in this instance, they are crushing it.
They're starting off very well, getting people hooked in immediately. Not that the NFL needs to bring people in. It's a massive identity. It's insane, but it's a solid way, and kudos to the NFL for starting the season the way they did.
This is only a one-time thing for the schedule. I don't know if you can go every week with Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday.
So I'm pretty sure.
No, just like the bar is set high so early so that even when it does start to come down, it's still
week
good
one
football.
Every year, if it's like this, I'm totally fine with it.
And I also think it's more so just the quality of the primetime games, right? Like, even if if you got this quality every Thursday, Sunday night, Monday night, you're golden.
Right.
Friday night's irrelevant. It's like, if you get the quality of these games every single primetime game, it's the best product. It's already the best product. It becomes exponentially better if 100%. You're getting a product like that. And I got to tell you, I did watch a lot of last night's game. And Saquon Barkley, man, is so awesome.
Insane, right?
Nick, I believe on your show, and him and I talked about this, we are both on Saquon Barkley, like, offensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to have the best year of his career because he played all those years with the Giants, and they're terrible teams, terrible offensive lines, and he was still so good. And now he's behind an actual good offensive line on a good football team, and what do you know, he has three touchdowns in his debut.
Right, it wasn't even like they had to balance out, like, ooh, how are we going to get him some, how are we going to get him the ball on, you know, when a good player goes to a good team, you worry about those kind of declined in those players because it's going to be spread out. But no, he put on a show last night. Good for Philadelphia.
There was a team around here that had weapons like that.
You know, Joe, I was wishing the same thing because Saquon Barkley was available to the public. He was available to anybody that wanted to pay him money. Instead, they paid Ramondre Stevenson, who I like, but he's No Saquon Barkley. I'm sorry.
And just the matchup, the two new running backs and two new teams in last night's game, both of them had really good games. I mean, obviously, Barkley outshined Jacobs, but Jacobs still had a decent game for his first game in Green Bay.
And those first two games, you saw four teams all stacked rosters across the board, right? Ravens and Chiefs, both loaded roster. And then last night, I mean, even more so, the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles both have absolutely jam-packed talent on that roster. It is insane. When you look at the offensive side of the ball, I mean, Green Bay, Jaden Reed was awesome for them last night. He looked electric, but also Christian Watson looked pretty good. As you mentioned, Josh Jacobs is the new face there. Romeo Dubs looked good for them. Dontavian Wicks, not so much, but even still, like, Jordan Love looked great. The one criticism I think you can have from last night's game, and that's if you want to have it, is the field seemed a little wonky. Like, it seemed really kind of like slippery and wet. Guys were slipping all over the place. But outside of that, like, it was, again, awesome, awesome product for the first two nights of football. I could not be more excited.
Everybody
for
got
Sunday.
Out of it healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No major injuries.
Right.
Talk to Jordan Love, though.
With a crap field like that.
He'll be fine.
I don't know. They're saying high ankle sprain, possibly MCL sprain.
Tape it up.
I don't know.
It's football. Tape it up. Shoot it up.
Be fine. Like, you saw him at the end of the game. He was doing all right. Like, right. He was moving. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
Right, like, nothing about a walking boot or anything like that. I haven't seen anything about, you know, left the game in a boot or anything like that.
Yeah, so. Like, I saw the injury designation on my fantasy roster. But outside of that, I mean, I have no doubt that Jordan Love will play plenty this season and probably next week, no problem. Especially you get the extended rest, too. That's the thing. Because you played on Friday, you now don't have to play again until Sunday, so you get that time off. I think he will be fine. He'll be good to go. But we do have a local team playing this weekend, the New England Patriots.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Boston College.
Oh, you're right, Boston College versus Duquesne this weekend. Go Billy O. Shout out to my guy.
2-0.
Billy O. Looking to go 2-0 today. But no, tomorrow the New England Patriots are in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. The line has moved a lot, Billy. Just a week ago, that line was upwards of 9, 9.5 in a lot of spots. Mm. It is now Bengals by 7.5. And in large part, that's due to the injury report that came out yesterday.
Yep.
And for the Bengals, you saw that T. Higgins is doubtful with his hamstring injury. And then Ja'Marr Chase also listed as questionable, specifically just because he has not practiced or trained at training camp all offseason. And so I'm kind of curious. The line is moving. A lot of the bets are still on Cincinnati. Is there a way in which the New England Patriots can win on Sunday?
Yes. I don't see why not. I mean, it's corny. It's a cliche, any given Sunday. But I think with what the Bengals are dealing with for injuries, losing your top two receivers, you know what I mean? Like, how many teams have a combo like these guys have? You know, there's only a few teams out there with this kind of combination. Patriots defense, you know, could do enough to keep them in the game, enough to pull off a victory. Will they blow them out? No. But could the Patriots win by a field goal or a touchdown? I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. Again, I'm relying more on the Patriots' defense than their offense, so I'm banking on them being able to shut down Cincinnati and maybe pull out a win.
Yeah, the key for the Patriots, I think, at this point is just keep it close.
Yep.
Like, if you keep it within one possession, you don't let them get ahead, and you kind of just play in the mud a little bit and kind of grind it out, there's a chance a bounce goes your way and, you know, you end up winning a football game. You had a lot of those last season because, again, bad quarterback play, really good defense. A lot of games that came down to one possession that you probably could have won had you had, I don't know, slightly better quarterback play.
Right, exactly.
And so you're in a position, I think, in this game where you find yourself with a similar formula for success, where it is, all right, we're going to play good defense, don't turn the football over, and run the damn ball.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the key here. If Stevenson has a good game, the defense looks good. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if the Patriots won on Sunday.
No, there's nothing. Again, it's still 7.5 points. That's not a crazy spread. It might be the biggest one on the board because the expectations for the Patriots are so low. But, yeah, no, to pull out a win wouldn't be shocking at all.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that goes under-discussed is Joe Burrow still dealing with that weird wrist injury.
Mm-hmm.
We don't exactly know what his kind of status will be. We haven't seen him really play all that much in recent times. So it's going to be interesting a lot to see the New England Patriots against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. Billy, if you had to pick one position, one player even, that needs to have great success on Sunday for the Patriots to win, who's your guy?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett.
Simple. I mean, you got to, that's the most important position on the field. It's the guy that we were told, hey, he's the veteran. This is your starter. This is like, you told me, hey, if you were going to put Drake May in there, then I'm like, okay, it's not Drake May because he's a process. We're developing that. This is something. This is a veteran. He's been around forever. He knows the Patriots system well, I guess, but I don't know how much change has been made between what he had with Belichick and what it is now with Mayo. But I think between Brissett and the Pats offensive line, if they're on the right page, if they're doing their job, simply not turning the ball over.
Yep.
If they have it, they got a good shot. But it's I think all eyes are going to be on Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I think for me it's going to be, I don't want to say one person, but I think for me it's a position group, and that would be the front four.
Yeah.
Right? Your guys like Keon White and Devon Godshaw and Josh Uche and all those guys down front are going to need to have a big day, because if you're going to disrupt Joe Burrow and stop the run, that's how you're going to win this football game. And if Joe Burrow's without his top two receivers, you immediately are at an advantage. I think at corner, like, I'm not worried about Christian Gonzalez going up against Andre Yoshivash.
Right.
Do you, fun fact, Yoshivash, Princeton guy. Fifth-round Princeton guy. So I am not worried about Christian Gonzalez against Andre Yoshivas. I am worried about Cincinnati finding a way to run the football, though. And yep. So it'll be imperative on the front four to kind of figure that out, make sure they're in a good position to stop the run and really kind of help out the offense in getting some good field position.
And that's one of the things that has me most excited about the Patriots this season. You know, there's a million question marks with their offensive line and having somebody like Brissett as your starting quarterback and young wide receivers, but the defense, like somebody like Keon White, like I just can't wait to watch Keon White.
I hope he just rips it up.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like we're at a point now where it's, you know, we have to watch these things. We the expectations are low. We don't really expect much out of them, but we have something to watch.
Yeah,
and that's what hurt me as a fan last year was that Judon got hurt, Gonzalez got hurt, the offense wasn't
pointless.
That great. Right, it's like at least show me something. At least if I can see these guys developing, making some hits, making some plays, I'm like, all right, this is what's going to keep me interested in this team is watching these players develop. And guys like Keon White, the Christian Gonzalez's of the world, you know what I mean? Those two positions on that field are going to be, my eyes are going to be glued to those guys, you know? So that's what's going to keep me interested in this team. And I'm really hoping that like somebody like Keon White just turns into a monster this year and Gonzalez picks up where he left off before he got hurt.
And I think Keith brought that up on you guys' show this week, where it's like, for a successful season, I just want to see growth out of my young players.
Yeah.
Right? You want to see growth out of guys like Christian Gonzalez and Keon White. And then when you get to the offensive side, you want to see growth out of guys like Jalen Polk. Yep. And some of those young guys in the offensive line, and hopefully eventually Drake May. And then, you know, as long as you see sparks, you don't have, it doesn't have to be there all right away.
Nope.
But as long as you see sparks and there's hope, I think fans across the country are going to, or at least, you know, Patriot fans are going to be excited.
You know, for what we do for work, just as a fan, you're going to watch Sunday regardless.
Yep, absolutely.
But again, it's just giving me something to build off of from the week before. Like, oh, did you see what he did last week? Let's see what he does this week against so-and-so.
And for the casual fan, it'll be like, how long can they keep my attention before I go to Red Zone? Like, that's kind of like
that's
the thing
too, right.
Just don't be, like, horribly ugly on offense where it's just abominable,
right,
and unwatchable, and then make sure that there's growth from your young players, and I think you're in the right direction.
It's okay, they'll suck you back in when they put Drake May in for Jacoby.
Oh, yeah, I will 100% yep. Be watching every second, every single snap Drake May takes.
It's just how long is that in between, you know?
Yeah, it's going to take a little time.
Like yesterday or the day before, either way, we did kind of like, you know, predictions type thing, you know,
yep.
Who's the first quarterback benched, when do we see Drake May start? And my pick was, I think it was week 6. I think I picked him to go in against.
Is that Houston?
Against, yes. Yeah, so was it them? Was it? Yeah, either way, it was week 6 is when I thought it was. So it's like, all right, get me to week 6, and that's just
yeah,
my
week
pick.
Week 6
it could
is Houston.
It could be well before then. But as long as the gap in between Brissett and May isn't atrocious,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to take a lot, I think, for Brissett to come out and May to come in. I think if Brissett plays average football, they're going to keep him in there.
Yeah.
I think you need a real fall off from Brissett to finally pull the trigger. I guess it also depends on how the crowd's going to react.
Yeah.
Will Kraft hear the crowd chant, "We want Drake," and then force them to make a move kind
of
thing?
And if they win week 1, if they somehow win against the Bengals, it's just going to be longer that Jacoby Brissett is starting.
Right. Right. And that, hey, it's
Drake
a win.
May, is it?
I'll take the win. You
yeah.
know? And that's the thing, too. It's like, all right, Brissett's in there. It's okay. Well, we won. Why shake things up? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, as much as I want to see Drake May out there, and I thought as a number 3 pick, he should be ready to go week 1 taking snaps. But I see what they're trying to do. They don't have confidence in their offensive line. They don't want to get the guy killed.
Yeah, and these first 2 weeks are going to be two of your more winnable weeks until week 9, 10, 11 in right. that range, because you're going to have a bit of a gauntlet coming up following these two games. But at least right off the bat, you get one of the worst defenses from last year in the Cincinnati Bengals, and an offense who is banged up all over the place. The quarterback's hurt. One of the receivers is unlikely to play. The other one hasn't played at all offseason. So there's a really good chance that they struggle out the gate, and so you have an opportunity there. And then you get a Seattle team coming cross-country with a 37-year-old head coach who's never done this before, and a journeyman quarterback who has way more weapons on offense than you do, but a very questionable defense on the other side. So there's a lot of opportunity for the Patriots.
If you can get out of September 2-2,
I mean, that's a
huge win.
You take that every day.
Absolutely. 100%. Like you said, it's these first two games, though, and you know, then it's the Jets in primetime on Thursday in New York, and then the 49ers on the road as well. So it's
ripe for a curb stomper.
Right. Weeks three and four could be extremely tough for the team. So if you can escape the month of September 2-2, I think as a fan, you are pretty happy.
I think
it.
Even 1-3 is okay. Yeah. Like if you get a win in the first month of the season, I think you're off on the right foot. And then I think you're right. And then I think Drake May probably comes in around that somewhere between week 6 and week 9, right? It's either the Texans week 6 at home or probably the Titans in Tennessee week 9 is kind of my guess. That's my thought. But 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in, what are your expectations heading into Sunday for the New England Patriots? What are you looking for? Is there something you're excited to watch? Let us know. 37937 if you want to text in as well. This is the WEEI Producer Show with Shime and Lanny, but right now Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox snapped their 5-game losing streak with a 3-1 win last night to give the White Sox their 110th loss of the season. Sedan Rafaela smacked the go-ahead 2-run shot over the monster in the 7th inning. Josh Winkowski came in to get the save. The Sox now sit 5 games out of a playoff spot. Game 2 of this 3-game series will take place tonight. You can hear Will Fleming and Tyler Murray on the call from Fenway at 7:15 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Cooper Criswell will get the start for the Sox opposite Garrett Crochet for Chicago. Cooper Boardman will get everything started with the MassMutual pregame show at 6:15. MassMutual Insurance Planning Investments. And just a note before tonight's game, Trevor Story will be making his return and playing shortstop after fracturing his shoulder in April. The final injury report is out for the Patriots as they open their season in Cincinnati tomorrow. Starting offensive lineman City So has been ruled out with an ankle injury. Antonio Gibson, Vidarian Lowe, and Josh Uche are all listed as questionable. Meanwhile, the Bengals might be without their top two wide receivers. T. Higgins is doubtful with a hamstring injury, and Ja'Marr Chase is questionable as he seeks a contract extension. He has been absent from practice for a number of weeks. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Eagles defeated the Packers 34-29 last night in Brazil. Saquon Barkley scored 3 touchdowns in his Philly debut, while Packers QB Jordan Love was helped off the field near the final moments with an apparent leg injury. Boston College football has their home opener today against Duquesne with a 3:30 kickoff. You can listen the coverage from Chestnut Hill right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM, beginning at 3 p.m. following Baseball Isn't Boring. And the Revolution returned to Gillette Stadium for a first-time MLS matchup with St. Louis tonight at 7:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Look, Drake had more playing time in the preseason than Jacoby, and that was intentional. So as we talk about the developmental plan, like, we know what it is internally, but that was definitely intentional. We know what Jacoby can do. He's played a lot of ball in this league. We see him every day in practice, and we know what he's done in the NFL as well. So, but we have full confidence. I have full confidence in Jacoby leading our team into the season, and you know, the players feel the same way. You know, those guys selected him as a captain, so that should say a lot as well. This is the way we're going to go, and like I always say, as the head coach of the team, like, I'm trying to make the best decisions for the organization, not only here in the present, but also in the future.
That was head coach Jerod Mayo talking about his decision in starting Jacoby Brissett in week 1 and the confidence that they as a team have in him and he has in him. And Billy and I started the show talking about the confidence in which we have, if any, that the Patriots could possibly maybe eke out a victory. I know Fitzy, a week ago, I did a show with Fitzy, and he was very much believing that the New England Patriots had a shot to win this game.
Yeah,
so I think we're kind of at a point now where I'm starting to agree. It's getting there. I see it. I see the avenue in which the Patriots can win.
That's the thing too, is I'm curious if this is just my Patriots fandom.
Yep.
Because even like I don't think it is though.
Like looking at it from 12,000 feet.
If I'm gambling, I never pick against them. You know what I mean?
But I also know that
too. It's like it's just my inner honk comes out once the season gets rolling, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Let's give me 10 wins. You know what I mean? Like as a fan, my expectations are ridiculous, but the reality of it is, like I said, if we can go 2-2 this month, I'll take it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like I saw the video of Big Cat going through the Bears schedule, and he has the Bears like 12-5.
Right.
I'm like, brother, stop. Like, what are we doing? But I'm kind of at a point when I look at this game. Like you brought up the betting aspect of this game. When I look at it, 7.5 to me, it's too big that I would never bet the Bengals because of all the issues they're dealing with, but it's also not big enough that I would take the New England Patriots, if you know what I mean.
I
so I'm kind of like stuck in a middleman land where I'm just like, I'm just going to bet the under. I don't think any points get scored in this game basically at all. I'll take the under 40.5 and call it a day.
Yeah, I think people are, I think you're not the only one in that. I think a lot of people are in that boat when it comes to let's avoid the spread and just know that, you know, Burrow's coming off an injury. The Patriots' offense is what it is. The under might be the safest bet on that game.
Yeah, because the only way you're really going to get a ton of points in this game is for some reason the kickoff actually becomes dynamic, and after the first two games, doesn't look like a dynamic kickoff.
Just very, put the ball at the 30 and just out of the game.
It's a really dumb thing, right?
It's dumb.
It's so dumb. But I don't think you're going to get any scores there. And then it's going to come down to like defensive scores, right? Are you going to pick six Burrow a couple times, maybe a scoop and score along the way? Maybe, but that's kind of the variables that you can't bank on.
Right, and you can't bank on both defenses not showing up and both offenses just going off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you're going to get anything score-wise like you got in last night's Eagles-Packers game.
No,
you know what
you're not going to get a 34-29 final score.
No, we're looking at, 24-10. You know what I mean? Like,
or even more like 17-10.
Yeah.
Like, even like 14-10 seems like more reasonable. Yeah. Like,
so you would hammer the under then a 40.5.
Yeah. 35 at most is what I'm assuming for tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we're getting more than like 35 points in that game.
I mean, as a fan, you want a shootout and you want a game to keep you, you know, glued to your seat for four quarters. But yeah, no, I don't think.
Yeah, where are all those people that told us, what was that? The Super Bowl against the Rams, that defensive football is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
shut up.
Not.
No, it's not.
It isn't.
Games like last night, even a game like the Chiefs-Ravens game, where it wasn't the most high-scoring game, but there was points. There was plenty of points going around. Like, those are the games we want to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the first run of the Patriots dynasty was all based on the defense.
Yep.
But at least, again, we were watching the greatest of all time develop into that quarterback. So that's what it was.
And then you got 07 where they just lit it up.
Yeah.
And it just points everywhere.
Backyard football. It was just like chuck it up there. Like, I remember the final game of the season with Randy Moss. They were trying to get the record. Like,
against the Giants.
Yeah, one play, Brady throws a bomb to Moss and it doesn't work. And they're like, all right, let's try
it
again. Let's try it again. All right, I'm taking 3-4 steps back and I am just chucking this thing.
And you just kind of watch last night's game. And I think Sunday, you're not going to get any of that.
No.
Sunday night, though, if you need a fix, Sunday night is where you're going to get all of that. Rams, Lions, I'm telling you right now, it's probably going to move more. Go bet the over 52.5. It's the squarest bet of the week, but it's going to be the most fun bet of the week.
Just a couple dudes as head coaches, you know what
dudes
I mean?
Dudes as head coaches, dudes as quarterback.
I'm going to throw this ball as far as I can. Let's see if you can stop it type thing.
And in a dome, it's like, the Ringer Fantasy Football Show does a really good job, and they refer to the Detroit Lions as the Mario Kart Super Track. So, like, you get the speed boost in Mario Kart. Like, that's what the Detroit Lions are. It's like, we don't play a ton of defense, and we're in a dome. Everybody go fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just go fast, score points.
Just go deep.
Yeah, exactly.
Where am I going? You're going deep, too.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp, just run straight.
That's straight. Don't make no cuts.
Don't stop.
No twists.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Did you, speaking of Dan Campbell, did you see his Applebee's commercial?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you got to go watch the Applebee's. Excellent,
acting
job.
Endless boneless wings or something?
He is. Nice. That's exactly. 50 Cent boneless wings, which I actually dove into last night.
Applebee's?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, all right. I haven't been to Applebee's in a long while.
I was looking for something fast, casual. I was like, 50 Cent boneless wings. I could do that. You get like 20 wings for 10 bucks.
Right.
You don't beat that.
How many did you have?
I had 20.
20. All right. I should have guessed that when you had such an accurate number. Like, you get 20.
But you also, like, you get them in increments of 5, so you could get multiple flavors.
Perfect.
And like, because a lot
did
of pages
you shake it up, or did you just get one?
Oh, no, I got 3 different flavors.
Okay, I guess what I'm saying. Like, how many flavors are they offering?
I think 6.
All right, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. So I went like 10 honey barbecue.
Perfect.
4 of their like garlic parm.
Okay.
And then 4 of their like or 5 of their like Asian zing one.
Gotcha.
It's like the hot Asian
sweet and tangy.
Yeah, really good. Honey barbecue, dynamite. Yeah, it's really hard to mess up a honey barbecue.
You like a buffalo guy?
I love Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like I wasn't in the mood for Buffalo. I wanted wings, but I didn't want Buffalo wings. Right. You know what I mean? So
now, do you like Buffalo like to the point where it's like torturous, or do you just like kind of keep it to mild to medium?
Oh, no, no, no. I like to keep it mild to medium. Yeah. I love Buffalo, though. Like, I put Frank's Red Hot in
everything.
I put that bleep in everything. It's They're not lying.
Yeah, right.
I put that in everything, and especially Awake and Approved. So,
Oh, is it? No kidding.
So I literally, when I was on Awaken, or like right in the middle of my diet, cutting all my weight, I was eating a ton of veggies, and I would just douse it Frank's Red Hot. And it's just an easy way to spice things up, get a nice little flavor.
You can only have so much steamed vegetables. You know?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, too. It's like, I hate to completely get off topic and stop talking about diets, but that's the thing. It's like the condiments. You don't realize how terrible...
Yeah,
condiments
like,
for
like how much sugar there is in ketchup.
Right, it's nuts. You don't think about it. Like, what? It's blended tomatoes. So how bad can it be for you? It's like, oh, no, it's basically candy.
It's pretty bad.
It's basically candy.
It's literally like, what was the old thing where you'd get like the white candy stick and you dip it in
Fun Dip.
Fun Dip. Yeah, it's basically like Fun Dip.
Lucamade or whatever the hell it used to be called. It was, yeah. And you don't think about it. It's like, well, it's just ketchup. Same thing with barbecue sauce.
Yeah, so
like,
much sugar.
This is fine. But you
it's
get
literally,
some, like,
they literally like douse, like, just put like a bucket of molasses in there.
Yeah.
Like it's just all sugar. But it's so good.
But no, at least you got Frank's. You got something.
Oh, yeah. Good. There's plenty. Well, so there's a lot of options. One of the other things, too, is there's like a specific mayonnaise brand. You can have a little bit of like avocado oil based mayonnaise.
Gotcha.
And you mix that with some Frank's Red Hot.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It becomes almost like a Chipotle mayo.
Right.
You slap that on something.
A little Thousand Island with a little zip.
Yeah. It's real good. I highly recommend.
That's going right next to the charcuterie board tomorrow.
Oh, see, that's the thing, too. It's football season. You've knocked off some LBs. You've changed your lifestyle.
I have.
Football season's the toughest season of all when it comes to snacks.
Yeah, it's really, and especially now, like, I am, for those who don't know, I'm working, like, 7 days a week now because we're doing the producer show tomorrow. I will be on with Arcan and Mego here for WEEI Football Sunday right up until the kickoff of the 1 o'clock games. So it's... I'm a lot of moving parts for me, so I really got to find my time to go to the gym, make sure I'm still getting my exercise in, make sure I'm still doing the right thing, and then also kind of enjoy some of the football delicacies.
Right.
Because I can't go, you know, stuffing my face with pigs in a blanket.
No.
Can't do that.
This is the pigs, though. You can have the pigs pot, right? It's the blankets that
the
are
hot
bad.
Dogs are hot dogs. As much as I love
poison.
A glizzy,
they're absolutely poison.
I love a good glizzy.
Yep.
Not great for you.
No, not at all.
Not great.
No, but
for
I'm
you.
With you too. I have a hollow leg when it comes to hot dogs.
Yeah, but what I can do, chicken wings, totally on diet.
Yeah,
so I can make my own sauce that's kind of, you know, diet approved,
right.
And then you can like. I could, like, air fry them, bake the wings. That's what I did. That's what I did all last year, like, all over the winter. Whenever I wanted wings, I would just, I made my own sauce, just a little bit of butter, some garlic, and a lot of Frank's Red Hot.
Yeah.
Mix all that sucker together, douse the wings in them, bake them. Oh,
right.
Dynamite.
Even just, like, you'd be surprised, just a little salt, pepper.
Yeah.
Like, how far it can go
can
with
make,
it with a chicken wing, you know?
I think people underestimate how good you can make food with a good dry rub.
Yeah.
All you need is a good seasoning blend.
Yep.
And as long as you make it yourself, you don't have to worry about them adding sugar to the, like, the pre-made seasoning blends. You make it yourself. You coat those puppies up. Dynamite.
Cool.
You can make anything taste good. Trust
exactly,
me.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of what I've learned over the last, like, year and being on Awakening. If you try, you can make anything
right,
taste good.
Right, it's not as torturous as people make it out to be
no.
when it comes to going on these lifestyle changes. It's
yeah,
like
and
you
it's
find
so,
ways to do it.
It's, like, so much better than... And if intermittent fasting works for you, like, great, like, do your thing.
Yeah.
But it's just, like... I like to eat food.
Right.
That's just, I've always liked to eat food. So it was a way that I could eat food. I was eating food that was, I could make pretty good and I was still losing weight.
It's so funny because like I go to the doctor and they like, obviously I'm a big dude. So they're like, well, you got to lose some weight. And they try to like dig down into it. It's like, well, did this happen to you as a child? And did this happen? It's
no,
like,
it's
no.
It's no psychological
it's
thing. I just like food.
I enjoy terrible foods in large amounts at horrible times.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
At midnight walking over to my closet and grabbing a bag of Halloween candy.
Right.
30 days before Halloween.
It isn't like,
you're just digging in.
Oh, my daddy didn't love me. My mama didn't love me, so I found comfort
I'm a child
pizza.
Of divorce.
No, it wasn't anything like that. It's like, no, I enjoy horrible foods for me in horrible amounts at terrible times.
You know, it's not rocket science.
Exactly.
No, we're not splitting atoms.
I can picture you in, like, in a therapist's office, like sitting on the nice leather couch, and they're like, so Billy, why do you eat so much pizza?
Because it's just delicious.
Because like, it's yummy.
Because it's like three ingredients and it's the most delicious thing in the world.
Pizza, or bread, cheese, sauce.
Thank you. Simple.
That's it.
Oh, no, sorry. I had a traumatic childhood where my father said he was going out to get pizza and he never came home. So now I have to you know, drown my sorrows in four pizzas. No.
It's specifically Domino's. Like, right, I just got to drown my sorrows in Domino's.
Exactly.
Their handmade pan, by the way, is delightful.
I can't even play the game Domino's anymore. It hurts so much. Yeah, no, but that's how it's always been. It's like, well, is it this deep-rooted thing? It's like, no.
No, I just like food.
I like foods that aren't good for me.
I have this thing.
Sometimes it can be that simple.
Yeah, like I have this thing. It's called a sweet tooth. Yeah, I love chocolate and I love ice cream. Both of those things, horrendously bad for you.
Right.
There's so much sugar in that.
Right.
But you know what? I know something. I love it. And as a kid, I loved myself a soda. I was growing up, I hated just drinking water.
Right.
I who likes water? And so as a kid, all I wanted to do was drink Gatorade and soda. Both of them horrible for you.
Right.
Just all the empty liquid calories that you get there.
So much sugar.
But you want to know something? I love a good Coke. When I go to Chipotle, what do I want? I want a Mr. Pibb.
Yeah.
That's
one of those things. I remember MTV Cribs was a thing, and I always wondered, if I was ever on this show, I'd be the first person to be like, see this right here? This is my fountain soda machine. Because
yes!
I've never seen anybody with one. I'd be like, I would be 1,000 pounds if I had a soda machine.
So I know we are totally off topic, but I have to ask this. If you're going to rank the types of soda, right? So bottled, plastic bottle, plastic or can, glass bottle, yep, fountain soda, give me your ranking.
So it's fountain, glass bottle, can.
And then plastic bottle at the bottom.
And then plastic bottle.
Yeah.
The plastic bottle is only convenient. It's 20 ounces. You're like, ooh, I'm getting more.
And there's very few things you can get in a glass bottle. Like, it's a glass bottle of Cokes that are
so
crisp.
The Mexico Cokes with the real, because they're real sugar.
Yep.
It's the real sugar they use in the glass bottles. It's amazing. But it's tough to top like a fresh fountain Pepsi or Coke.
And especially for adults here who have consumed an alcoholic beverage once or twice in my life, the next morning going and getting like a nice fountain soda.
Mm.
Just hits the spot. I don't know what it is.
Me and Andy Hott talk about it all the time. How amazing, and this is going to beer now, how amazing the Miller Lite pint bottles are.
Oh, the glass, the can bottles.
Yeah. So
yes.
We're trying to figure out the science of it, and I think it's just as simple as that it's a wider mouth is why it's so much better.
Ooh.
And the fact that you can just cover it. So it's like, let me run to the bathroom real quick, come out, open it, boom. It's just, there's something about those pint aluminum bottles.
Oh, so that's why you think the Miller Lite ones are better than necessarily like the Michelob ones or the Bud Light ones, because the mouth is thinner on those ones, whereas the Miller Lite, it's more chunky. It's more like almost like the old Coors bottles.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a wider mouth and the ability to put the cap back on. And for some reason, it feels like it keeps the cold better than a can. Like a 12-ounce.
Oh, absolutely it does.
And I don't know what the science is, because in your hand it feels very similar.
But it's some kind of thicker aluminum or whatever, and it retains a little bit of that coolness.
Yeah. Those aluminum pint bottles are something else.
Look at that. If you came for the producer show talking about the Patriots.
You got food and beverage talk.
Yeah, and it's never going to stop. Me and Lanny are on a show together.
No, but especially
food and beverage talk never going to stop.
It's even more so because it's football season.
Yeah.
You know what I was talking about?
That's what you brought up.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm like, I want a crock pot something.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Maybe I want to make chili today.
Right, but because it's football season, you wake up on Sunday as a big guy. I'm like, man, I could go for this. I can go for this. I can go for this.
And you brought up crock pot. So my brother's competing in a rib cook-off today.
Sick.
And down at the Marshfield Fairgrounds, there's a ton of people competing. And so I will be there. If you happen to see me, feel free to say hello. I will be I'm going to go consume some ribs.
Right.
I'm going to need
all over your face.
I'm going to need to stuff some wet naps in my pocket and really make sure. Yeah.
I need a beach towel. I'm going to hose off a beach towel and bring that with me.
Luckily, Marshfield right by the ocean. Worst case scenario, just jump right in, wash off.
Now it's one flavor. Your brother has to do one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just one flavor. You're not allowed to, mix and match.
Right.
He comes up with his one flavor, his barbecue sauce, his rub, whatever, and he makes ribs one way.
Any idea how many people he's competing against?
I think there's 25 teams.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so he's kind of by himself, but my dad's helping him. He's basically the sous chef.
Yeah.
He's just doing whatever he's told. And I assume his wife is probably helping him too. But so that's his team. But it's really just kind of him figuring things out.
Has he ever done this before? Or is this the first time entering one of these tournaments?
So it's the first time he's ever done one of these. He's cooked a ton of ribs. We actually, last fall, when Wiggy was the head coach at Brockton, we did a whole save coach's job tailgate thing for Wiggy. And my brother brought a ton of pulled pork and a ton of meat. Some guy from the Board of Health yelled at us, told us we couldn't do that, even though the food was already gone at that point. a whole different story. But regardless, this time he's actually competing and totally above board. He's good to go.
Good luck to both of them. Good luck to your brother, and good luck to you for being able to. I hope you're wearing like sweatpants or like basketball shorts.
Well, I have my joggers on right now. I'm thinking about just going
no
with
buttons,
those.
No belts.
No. Pure comfort. Exactly. Hey, we're going to eat ribs here, Billy. Yeah. I want to be comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just throw on a pair of underwear and a poncho. I'm like, that's all I needed.
I think the bigger question for me is, will they allow me to take a doggy bag? Because if so, I have my snack for tomorrow at the games.
Your pockets are lined with tinfoil. Oh, this is nice. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you turn your hat around and you take your glasses off like you're somebody different and go back up there and get another one.
There's this like TikTok video going around of this dude at a carnival just like pulling a giant corn dog out of his pocket. It's kind of how I imagined me on Sunday, sitting on the couch watching football, just reach into my pocket, pull out a rib, start munching.
Like, what the hell are you doing? Where did that come? How long has that been there? Oh, I've just been, all day. That's
just
awesome.
Since yesterday.
No, he goes to one, he puts it in his pocket, goes to another one, and is like, wait, I don't know if I like it. He pulls out the second one and does them back to back to make sure.
Right. I bought these
which
cargo
one is
pants because they have even more pockets than your standard cargo pants.
The extra pocket cargo pants. Oh, God.
Football, huh?
Yeah, so football.
The Patriots are playing tomorrow.
Yes, they are. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on literally anything that we've discussed here between food or beverages or football. This is the WEEI producer show right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. You can make anything taste good. Damn right, I'm hungry, Joe Braverman. This is the WEEI producer show right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Shime and Lanny with you here for about another 10 minutes or so before Ken and Curtis take over for their Saturday program.
From Fenway, I believe.
Yes, I believe they will be live from Fenway Park, which will be nice. Heading into, we got Red Sox today, Red Sox tomorrow. Nice little weekend series. Got a win last night for the Sox.
Snapped the losing streak.
Good job. You beat the Chicago White Sox. Yeah. They win like five of their last 50 games or something like that?
Yeah, the White Sox are rough shit.
They're so bad.
We talked about it yesterday on the show. It's like, oh, because it was cool because Grady Sizemore called you guys.
Yes, he did.
So it was like, oh, right, he is the coach.
Shout out to
now.
Grady Sizemore.
And then it turned into like, wait, who did he replace?
I was listening, and then Pedro something or other.
Like,
then you found the name, and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah. Pedro Grifol.
Grifol, right. That's what it does.
Yeah, Grady Sizemore was an awesome player, and it just seems so random that he ends up on the White Sox.
He was so good with those Indian teams. Like he was, he was like kind of like Ellsbury-esque, where he did everything. Like during Ellsbury's MVP season, where it's like home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, good defense, does it all.
Yeah, yeah, he was awesome in Cleveland, and then we got him. What do we have? I think we only had him. Was he just a trade line?
It was that 2014 season. I think he only spent the first half.
He played like 52 games. Yeah.
He was the Ellsbury replacement because it was post 2013.
Oh, so he bridged the gap between Ellsbury and who was it?
Ellsbury and Betts? No. That was too early for Betts.
No, because Ellsbury was it wasn't Crisp.
Well, Betts started in 2015.
No, Coco Crisp was pre-Ellsbury. Yeah,
right. Ellsbury took over for Crisp, and then, so I'm like, wow. It's not even that long ago, but it feels like forever ago.
Well, yeah, because the Red Sox have sucked for like three of the last 4 years.
That's true.
So it's been
Sox are bad, but this weekend is a reminder. It could be worse. You could be Chicago.
You could be the White Sox.
Right. You could be the White Sox.
Like we said on the show yesterday, the loser of the series has to change the color of their socks.
Speaking of losers, we have started the WEEI Survivor Pool here for the NFL season. All of the show parts, morning, middays, and afternoons, have kind of all gotten in on this. We've all picked teams for Sunday, win or lose. It's just win or lose. You don't have to beat the spread, none of that. It's just win and you stay in, lose and you're out. Can't use the same team twice. Hart texted me. He goes, wait, so I can just bet against the Patriots every single week? I go, well, yeah, until they play somebody in their division for the second time. Yes, no. Feel free. And he's like, oh, I'm only half serious. And I'm like, I expect you to be full serious.
I think you're pretty full serious.
Mr. 0-17.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't he was pretty sure that he would. Like, the whole thing with he got so much crap for that. He's like, it could be an 0-17 season. But then yesterday on
the
show,
he's not wrong.
He's not, it's not that crazy of an idea or a thought. But, like, I think yesterday during their show, in the afternoon show, they went down game by game. I think Hot ended up with maybe three wins.
Almost all of them did. I know Arcand ended up with three wins. I think Tom Carroll, who was sitting in, Tommy Freeze Pops was sitting in. I'm pretty sure he had three wins as well. So, like, you know.
I mean, I feel like going winless is almost as difficult as going undefeated.
It is. What the Lions did in going winless is near impossible.
Right.
You just kind of luck into a win. Even that horrible Colts team that tanked for Andrew Luck, they literally tanked for Andrew Luck, still won two games.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, you know, sometimes you just luck into wins in football. Just kind of, there you go. But looking at the survivor pool, one, two, three, four different people have taken the Bengals to beat the Patriots this week. If what we believe is possible, that the Patriots could beat the Bengals, those people would be in jeopardy. One guy rose above the fray. I got to give him credit. Props where props are due. There's one human being who was bold enough to select the New England Patriots in the WEEI survivor pool. Our guy Stiz,
good for
fellow
him.
Producer Stiz.
Good for him, because again, grabbing. Like we talked about, like if you're going to get a Patriots win, it could probably be in this first 2 weeks.
Well, like this is outside of a Drake May start late in the season. This is like the best bet for them to win a football game.
Right.
Yeah, this is as good as it's going to get.
Again, because again, like obviously there's more teams than weeks in an elimination pool, but these two games, if he wasn't going to pick them this week, I assume he would have picked them next week.
Yeah, so you took the Bills this week, right?
Bills at home against Arizona. I figured that was probably, and what is it? It's 6.5 points.
Yep.
So I get the Bills off my list, and nice. I think it's a good matchup for them against the Cardinals.
So I stayed away from that game. For me, it's very trappy. I really like the Arizona offense. I love Josh Allen this season, though. Josh Allen's my MVP. Like that's nice. That I think big year for Josh Allen and the Bills here. So I don't hate the pick. I went with the Chargers. I feel like the return of Jim Harbaugh at home is that place is going to be like that team is going to be pumped to the gills, and they get to. They get to play the Raiders, who I think might be the worst team in football.
Yeah.
Like, there's a good chance they are just so horrendously bad that it's going to be fun. And I think the Chargers also want some redemption for getting blown out like 63-24 last year by the Raiders. So I really like the Chargers.
Other than Stiz, is there any other pick on that list that you were like, whoa, really?
I Arcan's kind of threw me for a loop. Arcan went Saints over the Panthers. That's like the Patriots Bills game or Bengals game to me, where it's just like a bunch of crap. I don't want to touch that game with a 1,000-foot pole. Like that is just, I'll bet the under all day, every day, because both those offenses should suck.
Right.
But I have no idea which way that game's
week one
go.
Of survivor pools are always the hardest. That's why for me in one of my pools, I went with the certainty, or at least one of the more certain games, and went Dallas over Cleveland.
Yeah. So you say that's a certain, like what you feel like is a certainty. Dallas is an underdog in this game.
Right. And it's
they are now plus 2.5 underdogs. They were 2.5-point favorites, now plus 2.5 underdogs in that game against the Browns. And oh, by the way, a rookie left tackle is going to be going up against Myles Garrett. So, like, that game is even in question. Greg also took the Cowboys in that one. One of the other games that was popular, it looked like, was the Lions over the Rams on Sunday night.
Seems like a tough one. Like, it's going to be a shootout, but it's like, I feel like
shootouts can always go either way. I mean, look at last night's Eagles-Packers game. Everybody loves the Packers, by the way. Eagles came out on top.
Mm-hmm.
207 text. Took the Broncos against the Seahawks for my survivor pool. What do you think of that?
Seahawks are favorites in that one, too.
Yes, Seahawks
are a 6-point favorite in that game.
Correct. And
the bold
that's
pick.
A big
I like
Bo
it.
Knicks fan right there.
My question was, is that Rich Keefe? That might be the Rich Keefe text line. Because like, I know Keefe's a huge Bo Knicks guy. I actually really like Bo Nix. Don't tell anybody. I kind of like Bo Nix. I would not bet the game. I would not pick the Broncos as my week one survivor pool pick. I do like the over in that game, though. Really low total. It's only 41.5.
No.
I really like the over in that game a lot.
If I knew Russell Wilson was going to be questionable, I might have gone Atlanta over Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that's not a bad one.
Well, so I actually think Russell Wilson being questionable makes me not want to take Atlanta over Pittsburgh. Because, like, Justin Fields can just be kind of an agent of chaos. Because there's a chance he just runs for 100 yards.
Right.
And then you just lose. And it's like, well, look what I just did. I really, really bungled that one up. I don't want to do that. So I would feel better about the Falcons if I knew Russell Wilson was in fact starting. One of the other popular picks in our survivor pool this week was the Bears. Nick on your show, as well as Frizoco, the Twitch producer in the afternoons, was on the Bears over the Titans this week. Love that a lot. I'm a big guy on big fan of Caleb Williams. And then Jones and Laird both taking the Dolphins over the Jaguars this week, which I also
Stop
like.
Nice.
So we'll be doing the survivor pool all season long. You can check it out anywhere on your socials. Jones and Keefe Twitter account, WEEI Afternoon Twitter account, the Greg Hill Show Instagram account. All three places have it. You can go find our picks all over the place there.
Billy, you go, final game call, because Shine's making his prediction on the football show tomorrow.
So my final thoughts on the Patriots.
Yeah.
Game.
Yep. Do they win?
Yes.
Oh!
Yep, I said it.
Where's the rap horn?
I said it. Save it. Throw it in my face next week.
Good for you, Bill. You know
Why
what?
Why not? Again, It's the start of football season.
Have a little fun.
My inner honk comes out more than my radio guy comes out.
You know what I mean?
Like, I get reason. Forget reason and logic. I can't watch a Patriots game and think like, oh, they're gonna lose this one. Like, the I'm too positive of a fan to root against. Like last year, I couldn't do it. I refused to root against them for draft picks. I was not gonna get up on Sunday, sit down on the couch and be like, here we go, let's lose this one. Get out of here. I was born a Patriots fan. I will always be a Patriots fan, regardless who the coach is, who the quarterback is. They are my team. I am a honk. Give me the Pats over the Bengals.
Good for you, Billy. That'll do it for us here on the WEI Producer Show. Another banger of a Saturday morning. Stay tuned right here, though. Ken and Curtis are up next. I will be on tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. with WEI Football Sunday, leading you right up until Red Sox pregame at 12:35. I'll see you then.